Galatians chapter 5. And you know me, I don't preach a lot on holidays. I don't, Mother's Day, Father's Day. We're liable to preach on Father's Day at Christmas time. Who knows? Today, I really give consideration. This past week, I thought about this message off and on the price of our freedom today. And I want to ask you to stand. We'll read one verse in the book of Galatians, Galatians chapter 5, and then we'll preach a while with God being our helper. Galatians 5 and verse 1. And Paul told them this. He said, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." And be seated. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you that our name is written in heaven. Lord, we thank you for the promise of salvation that is in you. And Lord, I pray today that if there's somebody here lost, that they'd come and get saved. I pray that they would trust you, put their hope and faith in you. And Lord, we ask now, it's preaching time, and I just pray you'd come by and help us while we try to preach a little while. Lord, I pray you'd give us unction from the Holy One. Let folk get excited about being free today. And Lord, that our name is in heaven and that we ought to be serving you. And Lord, I ask today, somebody has a need. I pray that needs met. Touch us and anoint us afresh from heaven. Help my family today, Lord, I pray, in the losing of my uncle. And Lord, I pray you'd touch them and help them. Lord, we love you. Help us to preach for this in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. As I thought about this message, I thought about the liberty and the freedoms that we have in this nation. I think every one of us sitting in here today understand the freedom. But if you forget what was given and that for our liberty today, we tend to take it for granted sometimes, and we tend to forget what was given to make sure that we have liberty to do what we're doing today. If we tend to forget that all the sacrifice that was given and that was made over the years since we become a nation, friend, then we tend to take it for granted and we're liable to lose it. By the way, our liberties are being eroded away one time after another. I tell you, there's been men and women that have loved this nation more than life itself. I believe it was Nathan Hale that as the British were hanging him for being a spy, and as that, I believe it was some of his own kinfolk that ratted him out about being a spy. He said this, he said, "I only regret that I have but one life to lose for my country." Now that right there was a patriot and somebody that loved where this nation was headed. Can I say today, I listened to a great message this morning by Brother Ted. He was preaching on an exalted nation. What a great job he was doing, and God has exalted us as a nation and made us great. Friend, I really believe He only made us great for one reason, and that was to spread the gospel, to shed the light, and that of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those pilgrims that crossed, they came and that for religious freedom, and they wanted a nation, and that where men and women could come and worship God as they saw fit. And you can look down through time, and they even struggled with that. The Puritans, they struggled with that, and so on and so forth. But as a nation, God has blessed us. And I believe that today we're living off of the past harvest of what's happened in the past, because He has no reason to bless us now for the shape of our nation. But I'm glad today that our freedom whether we live. And let me say this, I'm like Brother Jim White said one time when he was preaching. He was preaching about that little girl over there that was in Naaman's house in 2 Kings chapter 5. She was carried down there to be a bondservant. He said this, and I agree with him. He said, I'd rather live in a grass hut and eat with a wooden spoon and a wooden bowl and be free as to live in the greatest mansion that there ever was and have chains about me and be a prisoner. I'm with him. Amen. I like being free. I mean, you've been free for so long, we don't remember. We don't even know what it's like to be bound. Amen. Hey, listen, I grew up in this nation, but there's men and women today living in countries that are not free. They don't know what we have here. When we talk about liberty, they don't know what we're talking about. Hey, I'm glad to be in a country where I'm free. Amen. Thank God for that today. But not only that, am I glad to be free in this nation. I'm glad to be free spiritually today. And now that word free means being at liberty and not under necessity or restraint. It means not enslaved or not imprisoned. And so when the Apostle Paul starts in the book of Galatians, where he talks about to stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. He's literally talking about the law right there. The Judaizers have come in the book of Galatians, in the book of Galatians, and as he's writing to the church at Galatia, they're coming in and they're trying that to put them back under the law. As a matter of fact, he said, behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing, for I testify again to every man who is circumcised that he is a debtor to the whole law, to do the whole law. Why did he say the whole law? Because if you look in the book of James chapter 2, James said if you offend in one point, then you've offended in all. Listen, you just can't pick and choose which part of the law that you want to keep and which part of the law you don't want to keep. I mean, hey, I'm glad today, and we can go and read this after a while, but I'm glad that I have been made free, and that not only from the law, but I've been made free, and that from some other things too. Number one, let me say today, and let me ask you the questions I preach. I preach on the price of our freedom. Do you know what it means to be free? And I'm glad I know what it means, and I'm glad I know what it means to be free. But number one, first of all, the cause of our freedom. Why are we free? Notice he said, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Listen, I'm free today because of the working of the Lord, Jesus Christ. I'm not only free from the law and the bondage that the law brought, but I'm free from sin. I'm free from Satan. I'm free from self. Hey, listen, today I've been made free because of Calvary. Listen, I've been made free of the worries of the future. I've been made free from hell and of death. I've been made free from everything that could bind me up and bound me down. Because of what Christ done at Calvary. Amen. I thought about Mark chapter 5. I was leaving over there, and boy, there was a boy that was possessed with the devil. I mean, man, he was heat up with the devil. I mean, he couldn't do it. I mean, what did the Bible say? He ran through the tombs. He lived in the tombs, and he cried day and night. He cut himself, and he run naked. I mean, it sounds like the world, don't it? Amen. And I mean, he was just miserable. I didn't know what to do. Didn't know how to fix it. His family was ruined. You remember when he got saved? You remember what the Lord told him to do? He said, go home. Listen, that boy had a home. Their home's been destroyed because of the devil. But boy, when Jesus stepped off the ship over there in Mark chapter 4, he stepped out on the bow of the boat and said, peace be still. I'm not so sure that Legion didn't see that. And boy, when Jesus come into the Gadareans over there, the Bible said that he met him as he stepped off the ship. and Jesus cast them devils out. Right. There was a boy that was bound by the devil. I thought about Peter in Luke chapter 5. Peter was just a fisherman. Peter was just a good old boy. But yet he needed Jesus.
That's right.
I mean, hey, listen, Jesus got on that boat. I told Peter to carry the pearl. I reckon one of the first times Peter ever met the Lord, Jesus said, cast out thy little ways. And you remember that he told him to drop his nets. And he said, we've toiled all night. And ain't caught nothing. He said, drop your net. The net's over here. And Peter messed up. And the Bible said that Peter said, at thy word, I'll put down my net. He just put down one net. He didn't drop all the nets. He put down one net. And you know, that's what we do a lot of times. We just get the toe in the water instead of stepping out in the water. Amen. And we're just like Peter. But listen, the Bible said that he cast over the side and he drawed up so many fish that his boat began to sink. And they beckoned to their partners to come over there and help them. Here's what Peter said. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Peter knew the shade that he was in. But Peter was just a good old boy but needed the Lord, needed to be made free. I thought about in John chapter 3, we find a man by the name of Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a good man. Nicodemus was a religious man. But Nicodemus didn't know nothing about it. You know, all he knew about was the law. And that's what Paul's talking about in Galatians 5. He's talking about being made free from law. All that Nicodemus knew about was the law. And listen, he knew how to live by the law. He knew how to keep the law. And he, out of anybody that should have known, he should have known when Christ was and who Christ was, because he knew the Old Testament scriptures. But John chapter 3, Jesus told him over there, you remember what, if you go over there and look, and I know I've told you this, and you know, he comes to the Lord by night. Nicodemus does. And Nicodemus wasn't a bad man. He wasn't possessed full of the devil. He wasn't a good old boy. He was a religious man that was trying to do the best that he knew how and trying to please God. But you know something right here? When he come to him, he said the same, came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He didn't discuss what was going on. He didn't talk about the miracles that he did. The very first thing that he talked about was that Nicodemus needed to be born again. His religion was not going to save him. Religion could not help. Hey, I'm telling you, these folk today that are so bound up in religion and the religion inner workings and that of what's called the church. I mean, they're trying to serve their way in. They're trying to get in by their own, and I'm getting way ahead of myself, but they're trying to get in by their own goodness and their own righteousness. But I'm telling you today, because of Calvary and Christ's righteousness that was where He gave Himself for us, hey, we can born again. Amen. I thank God for that. Because of Calvary. And that's why He came. You realize He came to save men and women and boys and girls because they couldn't get in on their own. In Luke chapter 4 and verse 16, I'll read it to you. And this is why He came. And He came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. So he went to church. And by the way, that was his custom. Hey, some folk go to church, it just ain't their custom to go to church. And stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet of Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it is written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, to recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book and he gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all of them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. That's what he came for. He came to preach the gospel and that to the poor. Listen, he came to bind up the brokenhearted, preach deliverance to the captives, recover sight to the blind, and set at liberty them that were bruised. He came to give liberty today. He came to let the captives go free. My dad used to sing a song years ago that I could still go free. Boy, I'm glad today because of Calvary. Because you know, the Bible says that Corinthians 5, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Listen, he made him our sin at Calvary so that me and you could get saved, so that me and you could have his righteousness and be free from the bondage of sin and of Satan, of self. I mean, of everything that could bind us down, he's made us free from that. Every situation that haunts us, every baggage that we carry around, hey, that's been forgiven. Hey, it's still up here sometimes. You carry stuff around? I do. I carry stuff around all the time up here. But we've been made free from it. We've been made free from that. That's what people don't get today. He said, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherefore Christ, wherewith Christ have made free. Hey, when we got made free, listen, you turn a prisoner loose over here at the jailhouse, he don't say no thank you, I think I'll stay here. I ain't met a one yet. I mean, maybe you know one, but I don't know one. Anytime them doors open, I mean, they say, you can go, let's go, amen. You know, I preached a message years ago, the difference on being set free and made free. You know, we say Christ set us free, but that really ain't what the Bible says. You know, we sing an old song. I'm okay with this song, page 235. He set me free. I understand what the song's talking about. I understand that. I really do. But you know, he didn't set me free. He made me free. Yeah. Take your Bible and go to the book of John. Is it John chapter 8? I believe where he talks about that. John chapter 8. And John chapter 8, he's dealing with a bunch of Pharisees over there. A bunch of folk that are keeping the law, you know. Let's go back and look in verse. Let's just pick up in verse 30. As he spake these words, many believed on him. And then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. So you can't be a disciple without continuing in the word of God. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall, what's your Bible say right there? Make you free. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed and were never in bondage to any man. Let me park right there for just a second and say, that was a lie. Well, they were in bondage down in the land of Egypt, wasn't they? I mean, we got the history, we know this stuff. Well, that's a lie. I mean, we're Abraham's seed, we're never in bondage. Sure they were. And all through the book of Judges, you can see how that they were in bondage to one nation after another because of their sin. Do y'all reckon the shape that we're in as a nation today has something to do with sin? I think it has everything to do with sin. I know it's got everything to do with sin. All you got to do is go back and look at the Old Testament. Hey, listen, Paul said, was it in 1 Corinthians 10? That Israel is our example. They're examples unto us. And all you got to do is go back and read the history of Israel and see what's happening in our nation. Same thing. Same thing. They said, we've never been in bondage to any man. He said, how sayest thou in verse 33, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. Then verse 36, he said, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and you do that which you have seen with your father. And he goes on down through there and tell him in verse 44, you have your father the devil, unless your father's you'll do, you know. What's the difference in being set free and made free? The jailer can make or set you free. You can go over here, he can put the key in, or she can put the key in. We seen that here a little while back in Alabama. I mean, she can put the key in, or he can put the key in, turn and open the door and tell you that you're free. And you can go. But you know what? When the judge swings that gavel and says you're free to go, that's what matters. See, no matter what that jailer does, that jailer can set you free. Or you can get set free by an open door. But I'm telling you, when that judge who's sitting on that bench has that authority and he says you're not guilty, or because of the mercy of the court, we're going to let you go. You've been made free. You don't have to worry about anything. And so that's what happened at Calvary. See, because of Calvary, because my judgment was placed at Jesus, on Jesus, at Calvary, we've made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin. And listen, He said, if you'll come unto me, I listen, because of Calvary, He paid my sin debt. I mean, what was it in Romans 4? Who's delivered for our offenses, but raised again for our justification? If you believe in the death, the burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, the work at Calvary and an empty tomb, you can be saved today. We're no longer in the devil's prison house. You don't have to be there. You know, Samson got back down in the prison house grinding again, didn't he? But he didn't have to be there. He just gave up. He just gave up the freedom that he had. He didn't have to go down there to the prison house. He knew that she was after him. He knew what was going to happen one day if he kept on going in that direction. But we're free because of Christ. He paid for us. He bought us. And you know what? That when He bought us and paid for us, we become His to do with as He saw fit. And so you know what He done? He bought us and then set us free and made us free. Ain't that something? Ain't that something? Fella, they tell the story of a little boy that's trying to sell some birds one time. And fella come by and he bought them birds. And that little fella asked the older gentleman, said, what are you going to do with them? He said, I'm going to go set them free. Why would a man spend good money on birds in a cage just to take them out in the field and set them free? Birds don't belong in a cage, do they? And you know what? When you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're no longer bound. He's made you free. Boy, I'm glad that I can sing that old song this morning that we sang, I Know My Name's There, and I'm free. I'm no longer belonging to the devil. You know, you can go over there in the book. Is it in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 6? What did he say? He talks about 1 Corinthians 6. Let me see if I can find this. He said, what know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own, for you are bought with a price. I've been paid for. I've been bought. And you know what he done? He just kicked the door open and let me go. Ain't that something today? When he done that, I mean, and I've been made free. I don't have to live in bondage no longer. The cause of our freedom today is what the Lord Jesus Christ did at Calvary. And if you've trusted Him, then He saved you and made you free. But then the command of our freedom, you find in the text verse, He said, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. We're to stand fast. The command is, listen, in a day and a time here in the book of Galatians, listen, they were trying and that to put them back under the law. You go back over here to the first chapter, and it talks about the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself in verse 4 for our sins, that He might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. That's what He done. He delivered us from this present evil world. Yes, I'm still living in it, and yes, I'm still here, but I ain't part of it, amen. I'm part of a different world. I'm just sojourning and passing through. Older I get, the more I hate this world. I'll be honest with you. He said, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Then in verse 6, Paul said this, I marvel that you're so soon removed from Him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which you have received, unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. So Paul said, look, I know there's somebody else coming and preaching another gospel unto you than that, more than the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, if he comes and perverts the gospel, he said, let him be accursed. But notice what he said. He said, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ under another gospel. They were believing something else. Well, it wasn't just necessarily the death, the burial, and the resurrection that got me saved. Yeah, it was. It didn't have nothing to do with the baptismal pool. That didn't get you saved.
Right.
You can't wash them away, man. Now, I know what Brother Ralph said while he was preaching revival, but I've dealt with some of them Church of Christ boys. And I'm going to tell you right now, they'll tell you you've got to get in that water to get saved. I've talked to them. And I know that some may not believe exactly like all that. Not all Baptists are the same. I understand that. But I'm telling you, hey, some of them will tell you, you've got to get in that pool of water to get your sins washed away. I'm telling you right now, it ain't the pool of water that does anything. It's the shed blood at Calvary that washed me from my sins. Amen. I can't be made free by that water up there. Hey, listen, you and I need to realize that we were bound, but when we got saved, we got made free. Amen. Then we ought to stand fast in it. We ought to say, I know that I'm saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've been made free. Thank God for that today. I've been made. There's a lot of Baptists sitting on church pew today. They are miserable in their Christian life because they're still, yeah, they got saved by grace divine and by shed blood of Calvary, but bless their heart, they're trying to work their way how to get there. They're trying to be so good that they please God. They're trying to work in their own righteousness to keep it out. That they're just so miserable in their Christian life. I'm glad I've been made free. He said, don't go back and be entangled. I know what he's talking about. He's talking about going back to the law. He said, don't go back to the law and be entangled with the yoke. He called it the yoke of bondage. The law was nothing but bondage. Man, it was work. It bound you down.
That's right.
Are you saying that it was not holy? Oh no, the law was holy. I mean, go read the book of Romans over there. The law was holy. And it was not weak. The law was not weak. It was only weak in the flesh. That's where it was weak at. But he said, don't be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Don't go back to what God saved you out of. There's a lot of folk, they get saved and then they go back to what God saved them out of. It may be 6 months, a year, 10 years. You ever seen folk that just spend their life in service to the Lord and then something goes bad at church or something goes bad in their family and the next thing you know, they're out of church and they're right back to what He saved them out of 30 years ago. There's something wrong with that picture. There's something wrong with that. I'm just saying, listen, I know that every one of us is prone to wonder. We're teaching the book of, or the chapter, Psalms 119 on Wednesday night, talking about the Word of God. And all through that day, Lord, don't let me wander from your commandments. Why? Because we're prone to wander from Him. The older I get, the more I really realize that. That there is a draw, there's an attraction to try to get us away from the Word of God. You know, we should have known that. What was the very first thing that Satan done to Eve over there in the garden? Tried to get her away from the Word of God. Said, yea, hath God said. So you know what the devil does? He says, did God really? Yeah, He really said it. And we just need to move on. Things past. Some of them said, let the past go. And I'm glad, my soul, I'm so glad you've let the past go and let things go. There's husband and wives that things that was said 5, 10, 15, 20 years ago in an argument that thing is still living in your mind. You need to let that stuff go because it's going to bound you down. It's going to make your family life miserable. You can't serve God in that situation and in that direction. You've got to let that thing go, friend. Don't be in touch. He says stand fast therefore in the liberty. Hey, it's our choice to do that. We come and got saved. He's saved. But it's our choice to stand free in the liberty. I don't know too many prisoners that gets made free and then they go find them an apartment or a house and they got the same regiment that they had when they were in prison. I know folks got to get all that stuff out of their mind. I understand that. But I'm telling you right now that if there's stuff binding you up in your mind and in your heart, Christ can make you free from that stuff. The baggage of the old life, things that's been said. He can help you let that go. He can let that go, help you let that go. We do not have to live in the former life. He said, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty where Christ has made free. We ain't working our way in, church. We've been forgiven. We're getting in. We're not getting in on the coattails and skirt tails of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're getting in because He saved us and keeps us. Amen. That's how I'm getting in today. Amen. Listen, I'm no longer in that the servant of sin. But God be thanked. Romans 6, Paul said, but God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which is delivered unto you, being then made free from sin. I've been made free. I preached on that sometime back. Been made free from sin. You became the servants of righteousness. And so that brings me to point number 3. When I got saved, and since I've been saved, it comes to number 3. There's a constraint of our freedom. You say, well, that don't make sense. To be constrained means really not to. If you're constrained, then you're not free. That word literally means to compel or force or to urge. So if I'm free, I can't be free. I'm going to tell you something. Because I'm free today. You know, he said, being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. Let me put it to you a different way. Let me find this scripture right here. Take your Bible and go to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I want you to see this. The man that told us to stand fast in the liberty wherewith we've been made free. I want you to look in verse 19 of 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Look with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Look in verse 19. I'm going to close right here in just a second, okay? 1 Corinthians 9 and 19. For though I be free from all men, Paul said, I'm free. Are you free today? He said, though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all. Why? That I might gain the more. He said, and unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without the law, as without the law, being not without the law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without the law. He's talking about the Gentile right there. Verse 22, to the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak, and made all things all men, that I might by all means save some. Then notice what he said in verse 23. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Paul said, because I'm free, I make myself servant unto Christ. Because I've been made free because of what Christ has done at Calvary. Because I trust in Him and He's made me free from the law. And He's made me free from self. And He's made me free from Satan and sin. I've been made free from all of this. He said, I make myself servant unto Him. That I might go win others. Him. Christ put it this way. He said, if any man will follow after me, will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. He said, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Whosoever shall lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantage if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be a castaway? The world is not a place to be free. But in Christ Jesus, I've been made free. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 6. All things are lawful unto me, but not all things are expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. You know what that word expedient means? Not only does it mean to hasten and to get quick about things, it also means to be useful and profitable. And so Paul said, all things are lawful unto me, but not all things are expedient. We miss that sometimes about some things. You know, we have been made free and all sin's been forgiven. Let me put it to you like this. Did you know if you want to go out and eat a pound of pork, you can go eat a pound of pork. I'd cook it first. But, you know, the Old Testament law said you couldn't eat pork. And if you want to cook it and eat it, I mean, you can eat it raw, but it's probably going to kill you. But you know, if you eat a pound of pork every day for breakfast, that's probably going to kill you too. It's at least going to drive your blood pressure up. You know what Paul said? He said, all things are lawful. I can eat that piece of meat. I can eat that pork. But you know, it may not be the best thing to do. It may not be profitable for me to do that. You know, there are still some things that, listen, yeah, we've been made free from it, but it's still not profitable for us to go back to it. And that's what people miss sometimes. That, yeah, we've been made free, but it's still not profitable. I want to make myself servant unto Christ because I've been made free. The cost of our liberty today in Christ was He Himself that made us free. I want to stand fast in the liberty that I am made free in and have a life, a free life. But I want you all to know, and I want Him to know, and I want me to know that I want to serve Him because I've been made free. He's made a difference in my life, and I want to serve Him. Let's bow our heads this morning.